The Autopsies 2016, going unto perfection. Our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will at this season be revealing to us His ways towards perfection through His Son, a minister of the Spirit with a prophetic unction declaring God's counsel to this generation. He is a member of the International Coalition of Apostles and Nigeria Coalition of Apostles. He is an author and a public speaker who is very passionate about worship. He is happily married to a wonderful wife and blessed with children. Join me as I invite to the pulpit the president of Voice of Adonai Ministries International and senior pastor of Adonai Christian Center, Reverend Dr. Holly Akimboboyi.
I think I should have come like 3 years ago or so, but I couldn't make it. Thank you very much so, sir, for the word that you brought. After that kind of message, I'm not sure you need another one. Amen. And I'm saying it so very honestly. I think it was quite loaded, and we want to thank God. I've known Pastor Shehi Osoyinbi for many years, from the days in Agape, when I used to come to minister there in the early 90s. So it's been a long journey, and I want to thank you for your consistency. Thank you for building a kingdom church, a prophetic church. And I believe that this body of Christ, what God is doing, raising young men and women who... you heard what Pastor JJ said just now. When you catch these fires, when grace comes upon you through conferences like this that Pastor Shehi organizes, I think annually? Okay, annually. I'm sure your life would never remain the same again. So I want to commend this ministry to you and trust that Lord will continue to bless you. And bless all the people who are here. Can you rise to your feet? Let's just worship. 1 minute, I like worshiping a little bit. Just lift your hands to heaven and just... Thank you, Father. Tanakatono kiteme pratizo. Berefonos gedeman kretis pranize blandes. Thank you, Father. Worship Him again this evening. Lift Him high. The one who died on the cross for you. The one who saved your soul, the one who preserved your life, who forgave your sins, the one who is coming back again for you.
Your life is you in heaven. When I
eyes to heaven and bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of the one who is coming again. Rekolopatanaka. Rusokalian Frenesh Bayangaleba. Oh, Brekito no Shigidibatan Penesigidibaba. Oh, Tranasa Gayangedia Bidipanagedia Bidipragidibaba. Oh, Lord, Kala Yakolokota Yigidibaba. Rekito no Kalayakidibaba. In Jesus' name we have worship. Father in heaven, Lord, we've gathered to you. Your ecclesia is gathered to you this evening. We lift our eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus afresh that you will breathe on us this evening. Take us, Father. Take us, Father. Glorify yourself in us. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please shake hands with somebody and welcome that person again. Tell that person you are going to be blessed again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, the way God is connecting people in the realm of the spirit, I'm beginning to know Pastor Sheyi Osonyebi more deeply, and I can tell you, this is a prophetic church, and I want to recommend it to you. The Lord will continue to bless you, bless your ministry, in the name of Jesus. You know, when we began to teach some of these prophetic things, those days, they sounded so esoteric, some of them. In fact, some people ridiculed us, but I'm grateful to God that a lot of people are now buying into it. And let me tell you, the Lord will take his church to the perfect state. We have just begun. We are not there yet. God will take us there. Now, when I got the invitation, I saw the, it's not the theme now, the regular thing you use, diathesis. Aha. I'm not as good in Greek as Pastor Sonny, so I need to learn. Okay, I need to learn some more Greek. But I checked it up, and I found that it means correcting a deformity, to make it straight. Something that is not straight, to bring it into a straight line. And I believe that one of the things that God will be doing in our lives in these last days will be to correct those things that are not straight. Whatever the deformities that are there, by the Spirit of God, God will be straightening them up. And that's why, you know, in a conference like this, don't just wait for the logos. Don't just wait for just the words. There are things that the Spirit of God will be doing as you gather in this kind of conference. The Spirit of God will be writing with his finger on men's hearts things that are eternal, things that only God can do. There will be divine circumcisions that are going on by the finger of God. And that's why when you come into an atmosphere like this, the Bible says we have not come onto a mountain that can be burned with blackness and tempest and the voice of words. He said, but we've come onto where? Onto Mount Zion. Onto where? Mount Zion. He said, onto the city of the living God. Onto an innumerable company of angels. Onto the spirit of just men made perfect. And I believe just men here will be made perfect. That's where we're going. So please give me Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 1 to 5. Isaiah chapter 40. Now, you notice we're talking about things that have become crooked. God will be straightening them up. He says, comfort ye my people, said your God. Go ahead, please. Go on, roll up. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is what? Accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Roll up. Speak ye comfortably to her, the voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make
straight in the desert, the highway for our God. Verse 4. Every what? Valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, a lot of times when we read this passage, maybe we are thinking about mountainous places in Israel or in Nigeria. We bring it to physical terrains. But that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. When he says the valleys, the mountains, the hills, the crooked places, he's talking about people's lives. And I dare say that in these last days, God will be straightening things up in people's lives. The valley there talks about areas of defeat. You know, there are things that constitute defeat in our lives. Areas of defeat. You just keep going there into the valley all the time, you know, and sometimes you're swimming, you know, at sea level. You just keep going. You just keep going into those valleys. It's like they are prepared and designed for you. Those areas of defeat in this season, God will be taking them over. He said the valleys shall be exalted. And then the mountains. The mountains and the hills are areas that intimidate you. Now, if you've ever been to a mountain, how many of us have been to a mountain? I'm talking a real tall one, like maybe Mount Boya in Cameroon. Which are the other tall ones? Kilimanjaro is too far fetched, it's very far. But even these hills in Idore Hills, if you go there, you just look at it, it intimidates you. Because it's so tall. And there are things in our lives, things in our history, that when we look at, they intimidate us. There are things we dare not talk about because they just stare us in the face. They are intimidating. There are mountains, there are hills that are looking down on you and they are saying, where is your God? And so, if we're talking about going on to perfection, the Lord will be taking the church to areas where these mountains will become plain. Oh, I didn't hear a louder amen. Amen. I said, God will be plowing these mountains into plains. Amen. That's what's going to happen. Because let me be honest with you, when you look at the ordinary human being in any church, you find that the challenges we face, they are not different from the challenges that the unbelievers face. The unbelievers are broke, the church is broke, in spite of all our shouting about prosperity. The unbeliever is sick, and the church is sick. AIDS, HIV in the church. The unbelievers are bound with demonic problems, and members of the church are bound with demonic problems. There are mountains. The other day, one young man whom we had discipled here got married, and then after about 2 years, just called, said, Daddy, we have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, my wife is HIV positive. Now, what do you do? When you come across things like this, how do you handle such things? It's an issue. We're still grappling with it. And so, when we're talking about mountains, these are things that intimidate you, that really stare you in the face. And this evening, what I just want to do is to just briefly introduce this topic from my own perspective. And then I want you to be here tomorrow morning. Please, I want to plead with you. Tomorrow I'll be breaking things down here. And I don't want you to miss tomorrow morning session. I'll be breaking things down. The Lord will help us. So, it says, the mountains and hills shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. Those crooked things are things that have, you know, so much defined us in terms of corruption, you know, exam malpractice, the crookedness, the way we drive in traffic, the way we behave, in Futat some years ago, one young man, I don't know if they are Futat students here, one young man was in the class and came to church to give a testimony in Chapel of Faith in Futat. He said he got to this question, it was so difficult, and he was saying, "Lord, help me, help me, help me. I don't know this question." He said, he just saw a paper flying. And as the paper was flying, it just landed near him and he peed, and lo and behold, the answer to the question was there. Praise the Lord. That's what he said. Now, don't say hallelujah to that. You have crooked things in the body of Christ, and the Lord is going to straighten them up. I went to the passport office some years ago for my passport. And when I got there, I found that they began to talk to me about how to, you know, they want to make money out of me. So I said to them, "I've never given a bribe and I'm not going to start with you." Ah, they say, "Are you a Christian?" I say, "Yes, I'm a minister of God." "Oh," they say, "we have a fellowship here." I'm not kidding now. They said, "Please, sir, come and preach to us next week. Come and minister in our fellowship." Now, that exactly is the way things are in the body of Christ. There's so much crookedness. You know, all the challenges we had with the banks, you remember some of the, when it took a Muslim to come and clean up the banking system in Nigeria. Banking system that were run by Christians. Christian CEOs. And we haven't finished. One of the challenges we had in Nigeria, you know, we prayed so hard. How many of you prayed, you know, during the elections last year? People prophesied. I listened to God. God told me some things. I just kept quiet. But let me tell you one thing. God, we didn't have the spiritual mandate, the authority to get what we were praying for. So the enemy was always standing against us. You don't remember what the Bible says in the book of Zechariah chapter 4. It said, the high priest stood where? In the presence of God, and Satan stood to do what? To resist him. Why? Because he was clothed with filthy garments. The same Christians who were, you know, found corrupt, who are stealing money in the federal government, you know, sharing money all kinds of places, while the same Christians, even ministers, praying and saying Buhari must not come. And God said, "Okay, you've said your own. I will bring him to assist, whip you into shape." And that's part of what we're going through at this season. So God says the crooked places will be what? Straightened. And then the rough places are terrains that tend to impede us. They slow us down. You can't move at the speed you ought to move in. And I believe for each one of us, either as individuals or as families, there are terrains that impede our movements. And in this season that God is bringing us to maturity, when we will need to run fast, God will be removing all those terrains. I believe that's what is going to happen. So let's now jump quickly into the main meat of the message. First of all, in going to perfection, I want us to personalize it. So don't say going on to perfection. I want you to say, "I will go on to perfection." Can you say that with me? Make it a decision. I will go on to what? Perfection. And it's not a mouth talk. It's something that you have to walk through with. It's something you've got to do. You've got to work at it. You don't just mouth it. You've got to work at it. Many years ago, I had a nephew. I still have him. He was a little boy then. And each time I go to the U.S. to visit, I would carry him and do what we call body slam. You know what is body slam now? You know, wrestling. Some of you don't confess that you still watch wrestling. Amen. So I would pick him up. He was like 4 or 5 years old, and do body slam on him on the couch. And
So one of these days, I think about 4 years ago, I went back there. Now, this guy is taller than I am now. Yeah, and huge, massive. So I said, Shion, you know what I'm going to do, body slam? He said, Uncle, that is past tense. Past tense. The guy is massive. He's grown. The young boy I used to play with and throw all over the place is grown bigger than me now. And I believe for each one of us, the plan of God is for us to grow. And the challenge we have is that many churches, they are not prepared for you to grow. They just want you to be there. You are, you know, and each time you have a problem, you can run to Papa and Papa can lay hands on you. Papa! And blow some tongues. And pray for you. Say, I had a bad dream. You come. This is happening. You come. And you are 10 years old, you are still wearing diapers. 20 years old, you are still wearing diapers. Huh? 30 years old, you are still in nappy. When are you going to grow up? But my prayer is that this season you will grow. And you will grow so rapidly because we're living in times now when, you know, I don't want to go into the deep end quickly. You know, in Revelations, you know, it was talking about the man-child. And I believe God will be raising a man-child company. They will grow up quickly. You know, these are people who will be born with 32 teeth in their mouth. They will be born running. Somebody is born again today, tomorrow, a few days later, he's already doing signs and wonders. I believe God is preparing us for that. The church is not a place to, it's not a nursery. It's not a hospital. It's not a place to just pamper people and, you know, just take care of them. It's not a disco center. The church is a training ground for militants. Somebody say militants. The church is a place to train warriors. To prepare warriors, soldiers for the kingdom. So that by the time you prepare them for some years, after some years you can release them. Release them to the nations. I just spoke to Pastor Jaja, he says he's into mission. So praise God. So once you train them, you can send some to him. Hallelujah. And we send them to missions. Maybe you go up north. You know, some of us, when we pray, we don't remember enough. You say, Lord, mission work, praise God. Send me to America, to London, where else now? Eh? Singapore. You don't want to go to the hot zones. But let me tell you, God will be preparing warriors that we will send to very strong zones. The level of training, the level of preparation will be so massive that they will be a blessing to nations. And those are the kind of warriors we're preparing now. So the church is a training ground, a place to prepare people, to train people in spiritual warfare. So that you come into a church and within 6 months, your life has been transformed radically. You have become somebody who has been so highly trained, highly proficient, that you become a blessing to nations. Now, let's quickly go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Okay? But now are we the sons of God. Can you say that with me? Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So, when we're talking about this much, going on to perfection, it's a progressive thing. It's something progressive. He said, now we are the sons of God. But it doesn't appear we are the sons of God now. You're born as a baby. You look like a small child. But as you grow, you begin to
get into maturation. You begin to transform. You begin to get better and better and better. Your skills, your aptitudes, and all the things you acquire here, your brain enlarges. Your muscles get bigger. And all of those things are things that God will be doing in the body of Christ. Now, how does this affect us in practical terms? Now, you know that when Adam was created by God, he was perfect. He was perfect. Adam was perfect. He knew things supernaturally. He could cross rivers without a boat. Oh yeah, there were no boats then. I'm sure Adam walked on water. He named all the animals. How did he know the names? The lion will come, he looked at the lion, and he saw the ferocity in the lion. Said, "Your name is lion." He said, "Yes, sir." The goat came, he looked at the goat, he named the goat. He named all the animals. Everything was in obedience to Adam. But something then happened. Sin came. Adam sold out, and we're told in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, if you can run that for me, Genesis 3:15, the Lord now spoke. He said, "The seed of the woman shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And that is what God planned to do. To raise a seed of the woman. And so I believe from that time, it's like the devil began to look for the seed of the woman everywhere. He was trying to say, "Where's this seed of the woman? Where's this seed of the woman? Where is this my adversary? The seed of the woman." He was looking for him everywhere. He was doing shoot and miss. Somebody say shoot and miss. He thought when Moses showed up, he said, "Yes. This one is it." He brought the law. "Moses, you are the seed of the woman." And he attacked Moses. Tried to kill Moses. And God said, "You just missed it." When the prophets came, he tried to kill the prophets. And when you read the scripture, you find that a lot of prophets were killed. That's what the Bible says. It says, "You are of your father who killed the prophets." They had a reputation for killing prophets. And so, God ensured that, you know, somebody said, he said, sometimes we think the devil knows a lot. He doesn't know everything. One of my friends said, one thing he knows about the devil is that at least he's not baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's not baptized in the Holy Ghost. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So, he doesn't know a lot of things, so he knew that the seed of the woman was going to come, but how it will come, he didn't know. He didn't know. Maybe he read Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, where the Bible says that the Lord himself shall give you a sign, you know, but that was later. So, when Isaiah opened his mouth and prophesied that Lord himself shall give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He got a hint. A virgin? He must have been wondering, how would a virgin conceive and bring forth a child? You know, the devil is, he doesn't know a lot. How will a virgin conceive and bring forth a child? Do you know that in medicine now, it's a possibility? Yeah. It's a possibility. These are things. In fact, if you ask me, I will say they have done it. They call it cloning. How many of you have heard about cloning? Yeah. Cloning. You know, they take, in fact, how many of you have watched this film, The Boys from Brazil? If you watch that film, The Boys from Brazil, it's a good film. It's a good film. It talks about Adolf Hitler, how before Adolf Hitler died, you know, somebody took his skin specimen and they cloned Adolf Hitler. I know Adolf Hitler's father died when he was like 10 years old. So they tried to create a scenario of what would happen. So they reproduced a number of Adolf Hitlers all over the world. So they gave those children, those boys, when they were born to parents, and at the age of 10, they killed their father just to create the kind of environmental factors under which Adolf Hitler grew up. They called them the boys from Brazil. And you know, when they begin to do all these fictional stories, the chances are that they're already working on it. I believe that in Germany, they've done quite a lot of cloning. They've done it in sheep. They've done it in goats. If they can do it in sheep and goat, they can do it in human beings. But at that time, nobody knew anything like that. But God said, a virgin shall conceive. You know, the truth of it is that what it's talking about is, look, the seed of man is defiled with sin. But I'm going to bring the seed of the woman. I know what is, a woman has no seed. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. Woman has no seed. So, it's the seed of the man that is important. But the Bible now talks about the seed of the woman. What does that mean? That God was going to now provide the genetic material. Hallelujah. God was going to bring his own genetic material and infuse it. And that's why the day that the angel showed up in Mary's room, that young girl probably hadn't had her quiet time. Just woke up. Can you imagine a 18-year-old girl just woke up from her room and suddenly, how many of you are 18 years old? But don't be ashamed. And you just wake up in your room one day and you see an angel standing by your bed. Oh, you think it's not possible? It may happen tomorrow. And he said, hi, Mary. That's what Hail Mary means. Hi, Mary. How are you doing? The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Ha. Abba. Which one is this? What is he talking about? Fruit of womb? Ha. He said, you are going to have a child. And he will be great. His name will be called this and that. Ha. Egbamiela fight. Which one is this? He said, how shall this be? I do not know a man. And I believe that some of you are asking questions in your mind when God is talking about this prophetic seed that God is going to raise up. You're asking questions, how shall this be? I don't have a papa. I don't have a mama. I don't have somebody to lift me up. But the Lord said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Let me tell you one thing. We're in for divine infusions. The genetic material of the Godhead is going to come into your being. And I want to prophesy at this time that some of you young girls who are here, you are a nobody. Nobody knows you. You don't have anything to make you qualify to be a minister of God. Nobody would even look at you the second time when it comes to ministry or things like that. But I want to prophesy that in this season, the finger of God will be coming on some of these young girls. You wake up prophesying, you go to bed prophesying. The spirit of grace will touch you like you have never been touched before. So that's what the Bible is talking about when he says, you know, how shall this be? He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. We are into the time when the genetic material of God will come into human beings. We're going to have God men. Somebody say God men. And I believe that is what happened in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman. Somebody say the seed of the woman. God is going to raise people like that. They will be different. And so when Moses now began to come, it was like he began to show signs and power. You remember what he did in Egypt. Doing miracles, doing all kinds of stuff. In fact, Moses did not even do miracles. You know who was doing the miracles? Eh? Aaron. He just Aaron, just throw down your rod. Aaron, do this. God says, I will make you a God unto what? Pharaoh. And Moses will be your prophet. Hallelujah. God will raise some of you up. You will become a God to this generation. When you speak, it will come to pass. I'm not saying some of this soothsaying that goes all over the place. You know, in fact, you know, the world is, a time will come, they will get tired of our soothsayings. But many of those soothsayings don't come to pass. But God will raise people who will become gods unto this generation. Moses ministered, and then that was it. And then he died. And the world was like, I thought they said the seed of the woman, but it wasn't the seed of the woman. And then Elijah came, the prophet. Elijah ministered, and in any case, you know, Elijah and Elisha, they're together. You take them together. The only challenge with Elijah was that he didn't finish his ministry. You will finish your ministry. And God had to raise Elisha to complete it. And Elisha needed double portion of the anointing on Elijah. So what we're looking about is the law came and the prophet came. Both of them came raised by God to confront this generation. But they were not the seed of the woman until the day came when Christ was born. When he was born and he was raised up, remember the story in the scriptures when suddenly Anna and what's the other guy's name? Simon just went to the temple. Simon had been waiting for years and God said, Simon, your day has come. What you've been waiting for over the years has come. Oh yeah, get your loins. Go to the temple. The baby you've been preparing for has been born. You know, you can imagine how Simon felt that day. I'm sure he jumped up. And truly, he got to the temple, he saw that baby. And he just didn't have, he did no time for preaching, he just went, took the baby, lifted the baby up. He said, now, O Lord, let us thy servant depart in peace. Because my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. And let me tell you, there's some of you, you've been waiting for some things over the years, your eyes will see it. Your eyes will see it. There is a waiting generation. There is a generation of waiters. And my prayer is that you will not wait in vain. All the things you've been waiting for, looking forward to the Lord. I'm not talking about carnal things now. I'm talking about spiritual things. Some of us, we've been prophesying for many years now about a revival that is coming over this nation. And we can't wait. We're so eager. It's like the thing will break up quickly. It hasn't come, but our eyes will see it. Your eyes will see it. So Jesus came, and then God arranged a meeting eventually between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. You remember that meeting? What's the name of that mountain called? Huh? Mount Transfiguration. And on that mountain, they were there, the three of them, the law and the prophet. I'm going somewhere, so listen to me now. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented all the prophets. And those are two major instruments that God used to shake up things for his glory. But Jesus now stepped in, and the three of them began to discuss. I'm sure they discussed among themselves. He said, those guys are mean, oh. They troubled us. They dealt with us. They compared all their sufferings. Elijah suffered under Ahab. Moses suffered under the children of Israel. Jesus suffered all kinds of things. They compared notes. And then they now began to plan and prophesy and speak about what will happen in the future. At that point, when they were speaking, the three witnesses on earth, who should have been listening to that conversation? That's why Jesus took them there.
You think he took them for sightseeing so that they can, you know, at the end of the Peter, they all slept. And then when they woke up, they looked at Jesus, Moses, he said, it's good for us to be here. Let us build how many? 3 tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. They missed it. God took them there as scribes to write down, to take notes, all the discussions that took place on that night. None of them remembered it. The times of divine visitation, we will not miss them in Jesus' name. Times that God will open heavens for us to enter into divine communications. And let me be honest with you, divine visitations are far in between. Should I say that again? Divine visitations are what? In the life of any human being, any man of God, you can count divine visitations on the fingers of maybe one or two hands. I'm talking of real divine visitations. But what I want to say is this. Anytime God deems it fit to visit you, grab it with two hands. It's not the time to sleep. Peter, James, and John slept through their divine visitation. You will not sleep in the time of your divine visitation, in the name of Jesus. So they were talking, and the reality had come. The shadows were going. Elijah and Moses were passing off, and God was now raising Jesus, who was the reality they had been waiting for. But he wasn't even going to stay. He just came to introduce himself and to introduce the generation that will come after him. That's why if you look at John chapter 12, some Greeks came to a feast and they said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." And they were clamoring for Jesus. "Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus?" And the news filtered to his ears. Sahaba, this is getting serious. Everybody wants to see me. He said in that John chapter 12, he said, "Except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. It brings forth much fruit." He was talking there that, look, this genetic material that I carry, this God gene, I want to now transfer to a new generation. I want to transfer it to my church. I want to bequeath it to my church. Let them carry the same genes that I carry. The divine gene. The genetic material of God. Let them carry it. And that's why he died. He died so that you can receive life. The question I want to ask you tonight, what are you doing with that life? What are you doing with the life that God has given you? When I'm talking about that life, I'm not talking about physical life. No. I'm talking about the spiritual life. The Zoe. The life of God that God has infused in you. What are you doing with it? How is it operating in your life? How is it getting better? How are you developing it so that it can fulfill God's plan? And that's why when I was sharing earlier, I said to us that some of us will remain babies. We never grow up. You keep learning. And as the Bible says, you don't come to the knowledge of the truth. But my prayer is that you will come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "I have fed you with milk, not with strong meat." He said, "Because you cannot bear it." You can't bear it. Some of the things, deep ends of the scriptures, of words that are being shared, sometimes you find that in an average meeting like this, many people are lost on it. "So I fed you with milk
Because if I give you strong meat, you can't bear it. In fact, in another place, it says strong meat belongs to those who, by reason of use, have exercised themselves. In our early years in ministry, I had friends who today, I can't call them my friends. Not because they've gone into sin, not because they committed adultery, not because they've left ministry, but because they have slipped into error. One of the things Pastor Elton, who was my father in the Lord and fathered a number of us, and I thank God for that man. I was in Lagos, and sometimes when I get on the deep end of stuff, you know what I'm talking about now. You know, I'm reading scriptures and I get to the 24 elders, the four beasts, and the Lord began to give me, you know, what you guys call revs. And the revs begin to come. I say, wow, this is getting serious. I pack my books. I just take a bus, go to Elisha, and go and see Pastor Elton. He said, Pa, when I was studying, this are the things that came. I began to get this sense. This is what the Lord is saying. You know, and then he said, okay, just sit down. He will go to his shelf and bring a book. He said, you know what? In 1904, during the Welsh Revival, this happened. He would give me books. He would encourage me, minister to me. By the time I'm going back, it's like somebody set my bones on fire. I was a young boy, but I was eating with elders. Let me be honest with you. Pa said something, and I want to recommend it to many of us. Because there were some of us then who were operating in the prophetic realm. And he said, the difference with Akimbo Boye and some of these boys is that his head is in the heavens, his feet is on ground. Did you hear that? He said, my head is in the heavens, I can hear heavenly things, but my feet are also on ground. But there are people, their head is just in the heavens. They are lost. They just talk about celestial wheels of fire. And when they begin to go on to all this stuff, celestial wheels of fire and all of these things and so on, it doesn't touch the practical issues of life. It doesn't help people to walk with God. It doesn't help people to pass the academics. When we were in school those days in Medilac, I have one of my friends. He's a big minister now. I dare not mention his name. A big minister, frontline, but don't worry. He said, I cannot fail. If I will fail, God will have to fail. And he wasn't reading his books. He failed. He failed. Hey. And God didn't fail. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to say is this. The Lord will need to help us. That we need to get matured. And when God begins to bring deep ends, things that will be strong, we can call strong meat, you will not backslide with it. You will not go into error with it. We've got to be able to touch the ground. We've got to be able to minister to people. We've got to be able to affect society. Maybe tomorrow we'll be talking about some of those aspects so that we can close and go home on time tonight. Let me just begin to round up. Now, when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, where Pastor JJ was talking about Ephesians 4, if you put it up for me from verse 7, I'll just begin to talk about that and then we'll begin to close. But unto every one of us, a given what? What is given? Grace. Somebody say grace. Tomorrow morning, I'll be talking a lot about grace. So come prepared. According to the measure of the gift of Christ, you know, grace comes in measures. My own prayer is that you will take your own measure. I said you will take your own measure. Make sure you get all the grace you need to fulfill your destiny on earth. Let's run up to verse 8. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Roll up. Now he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth. And then what happened? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Let's stop there. Now, the first thing is this. Christ needed to descend first. Why? He had an unfinished business with the devil. He had a business. You remember what happened in the garden, in the mountain, in the wilderness, when Jesus was tempted. The Bible says he was tempted in all points. In fact, when he finished, the Bible says angels did what? Had to come and minister to him. But this time Jesus said, okay, you know what? We have a business we haven't finished. He went to Hades to do three things. And I'll mention them quickly because we are out of time here. First was, the Bible says he went to destroy him that had the power of death. And then number two, to take the keys of hell and death. You see that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. He went to take the keys of hell and death. And then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15 says, to also deliver those who all their lifetime are subject to death. So, Jesus needed to die to get the ticket to enter into hell. Oh, you didn't get that one. If you want to fly now, you need to buy a ticket. Many of us want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But Jesus needed to go to hell. So for him to do that, he needed to die. Because grace wasn't available then. But when he died, he now showed up in hell. Somebody said, probably at that time, there was nobody who was demon-possessed in the whole earth. Because everybody gathered. This is the man who has tormented them forever. And they were ready to say, thank God, he's done with. And suddenly, whilst they were surrounding him, what happened? Suddenly, the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. He was justified. He rose up. And he went to the devil and said, can I have the keys, please? He took the keys of hell and death. And when he took those keys, he went and opened the prison doors where some of the ancient men, David inclusive, all the people who had died who before Christ came, opened their graves, opened their prison doors. Said, let's go home, boys. Took them out. That's why the Bible says he took captivity captive. And then gave gifts unto men. Now, I'm going somewhere. So, it's important for us to understand this, that all of this scenario that Christ is painting is to position the church, prepare the church, prepare us in such a fashion that we become unconquerable. He took death. Death is the last enemy, but he dealt with it already. He dealt with it. And then, when he rose from the dead, he now gave us what? Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. And he says, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, he said, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Until we all come to what? A perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we there yet? But we are going to get there. I said, we're going to get there. And that is what the fivefold ministries are for. It's not for us to carry the badge, apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so. No, no, that's not the title. It's not. A lot of people have titles, but they don't have mantles. And in any case, you know, once you are so much concerned about your title, the chances are that you don't have a mantle. But when you have a mantle, your mantle will speak for you any day.
When you stand up, your mantle will speak. When Elisha, when he got back to River Jordan, this time alone, he took the mantle of Elijah. And what did he do? He smote the waters. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And God showed up. And I believe that is what God is preparing us for in this season. It will bring us to the unity of the faith. We've got to come to the unity of doctrine. We've got to come to the unity of the body of Christ. Unity. In fact, let me just tell you a few things as we close. There are four things that God will do in bringing the church into maturity. First of all, He will bring us into maturity when it comes to holiness. Somebody say holiness. Now, that is an area because, you know, He tried to talk about when He was on earth. He said, they have been told, thou shalt not do what? Commit adultery. He said, but I say unto you, okay? If you look at a woman lustfully, if you look at a man lustfully, you have already committed adultery. He said, they say unto you, do not do this, but I say unto you. So, He was giving higher standards of the kingdom. Somebody say, kingdom standards are higher. So, that's the first thing. Maturity in holiness. God will bring us into perfection in holiness. Number two, God will bring us into perfection in the issue of love. Love. Agape love. Not the other love we know, all these other things. But indeed, the kind of love which should be in the body of Christ, which is no longer there now. Hello. If you've ever seen, I don't know what, I mean, this is a perfect church maybe. But if you go to some churches, people would use daggers and knives. I'm telling you. The level of politics in those churches, serpents and all kinds of scorpions, vipers. That's why Jesus looked at some of those people and said, you are a brood of vipers. God will restore love to the church. Those days, the Bible says, they were all in one accord. So today, we eat in Pastor JJ's house. Tomorrow is Pastor Zonibi's house. Tomorrow, we go to another part. You know, they were just eating all over the place. There was nothing. They had all things in common. You go and sell your land, you bring the money. And that's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They sold and kept part of the money. And God, Peter said, is this all? He said, yes, sir. He said, are you sure? He said, yes, sir. And before he could say, he said, why have you decided to lie against the Holy Ghost? Just drop dead. I know in those days there was no GSM. If there was GSM, somebody would have sent a text message to his wife, say, oh God, don't quench you. So, don't be careful. So, the woman was just coming innocently, and she got there not aware of what had happened. He said, did you sell the lamp? He said, yes. He said, the feet of those who carry your husband are. And let me tell you, those things will happen again. He said, judgment will begin in the house of God. How many have I told you now? Perfection in what? Perfection in? Okay. Then there will be perfection in power. Somebody say power. Now we haven't gotten there yet. People come to our meetings with wheelchairs, they go back with wheelchairs. Hello. Am I lying? Maybe I don't see. Maybe I'm the only one that sees. I know we're just good at healing headaches and things like that. But let me tell you one thing. A time will come when miracles will be two for pennies. But we haven't gotten there. We have to pay the price. There will be raw power. Tomorrow I'll bring you some newsletters. It's our old timers. I don't know whether it's apostolic, but they wrote about what's the name of this man, Toby? Huh? A. Allen. You heard about A. Allen, the man who was so anointed. They said one day A. Allen was on the altar. He wanted to pray for a sick person, a sick child. They brought the child. The child was crooked, bent all over, all kinds of, you know, the kind of picture you will see and your faith will sink. You know what I'm talking about? So, Allen wanted to pray. As he began to pray, suddenly, the power of God hit the platform. All the mighty evangelists who were sitting on the altar, they ran for their life. They ran on baggy straight. None of them could stay because, the power. You haven't seen power. All these things we are talking, this Ubushere, you just touch people. Sometimes they put electric inside their, Oh, you've not had that one. They put electric something and then you touch people. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's in all cases. Oh, or how about people who, before they come to a meeting, they would have sent, like I'm coming out, I've sent to be, would have spied around. And one bishop was telling us a story. I'm out of time. So, whilst the man was preaching, he had this paper. So he said, you, your name, you are so and such a name, this is your phone number, this is what is wrong with you. And the person will be shaking. So the bishop noticed that this guy was reading from this paper. So he got up from his seat, came to the, and took the paper away. And all the prophecies stopped immediately. It stopped. But let me tell you, there will be a restoration of power. We have come to maturity in power in the name of Jesus. Let me give you two more and then I will close. There will be a restoration of order. The fivefold, let me give you an example. Today, there's nothing wrong with we having churches, thank God for churches. But in any church, in any city, there will be apostles. There will be prophets. There will be teachers. There will be people who are recognized, not because of, the title they carry, but because of the anointing they carry. And they will function in that capacity to give direction to the city. God is going to raise people. Look at during the last elections, people were prophesying left and right. Left and right. Even this one that just American election, all kind of prophecies. People are just prophesying here and there. So there will be order. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God will, he said, the church is built upon the foundation of what? Apostles and prophets. Finally, have I talked about unity? Okay, there will be maturity in unity. We'll be united. And then finally, there will be bring us to perfection in terms of glory. Now that one, I can't talk about that tonight because when I talk about that, I tend to lose it. The glory of the Lord will come in dimensions that we have not experienced before. That's what we're edging towards. And my prayer is that God will help us to be faithful on it. So are you ready to ask the Lord to say, tonight, I want to go to maturity. Get up on your feet. Let us pray and call upon the name of the Lord. And just tell him tonight, in just a few words, before I ask Pastor Osonyebi to come and help us, just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to care about people. I just want to get into maturity. I don't know what you were like last year compared to this year. Have you grown? 5 years ago compared to now, have you grown? Have you developed? Have your spiritual muscles developed? Have your spiritual mental capacity developed? Has wisdom developed in you? Have you grown in grace? If we are talking about perfection, we are talking about coming to the fullness of Christ. Coming to the fullness of Christ. Why don't you ask him, Lord, I'm not there yet, but I want to get there. I want to get there. I want to get there in love. I want to get there in holiness. I want to get there in power. I want to get there in unity.
I want to get there in glory. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. Finally, I want you to ask the Lord all the things that are stopping you. The valleys, the mountains, the crooked places, the rough places that are stopping, impeding your growth. Ask the Lord to do something about them so that, he said, the valley shall be exalted. Areas of defeat in your life, let the Lord exalt them. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for your children, your sons and daughters, your pastors, your ministers, men of God who are here. We are grateful for the insight you have given to us. We are praying tonight, wherever the enemy has shortchanged us, by valleys, by mountains, by crooked places, by rough places, we are asking that by the Spirit of the Lord you will bring a restoration. In the name of Jesus, we receive the genetic material of Godhead. Lord, we receive the genes of God so that we can be part of the seed company. Thank you, our Father and our God. We give you the glory and honor because you will bring us to maturity in holiness, in love, in unity, in power, and in glory. Thank you for hearing us. Lord, we commit the remaining part of this conference into your hands. We pray that you breathe on us and take us to where you have ordained us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's grace, your grace, and nothing without you.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pgtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along to the South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pgtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you.